Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
In the gloss. Check it out. My lip gloss, I only rock clear. On the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
Welcome back, everyone. And this segment of The Boss and the Gloss is brought to you by our friends at Cricket. Shouldn't your phone say something about you, Carla?
I should. I'm not going to say anything more, though.
Make a statement and let your flip era unfold by switching to Cricket and getting the all-new Motorola Razr for $199.99. Smile, you're on Cricket. How about that?
I like that.
Sure.
Right.
Made you feel good. Made you light up a little bit,
that
didn't it?
It did. And right. I'm lighting up because look at our guests.
Well, you're lighting up because Michael Connor is in studio with us. He is a host on KFNC Houston. Michael, welcome into the show.
Well, thank you for having me tonight. I say you guys are making me smile because I'm in here.
Yes, it's time he arrived.
All kind of good vibes everywhere.
All right, so you host a sports talk show in Houston, Texas, which has suddenly become football relevant with the ascent of C.J. Stroud, the arrival of D'Amico Ryans, the new culture with the Houston Texans. How excited is this city for what C.J. Stroud is delivering?
You know, it's exciting. I can feel the excitement. I will say I would like to see, I think like most people in the city, the stadium not be filled with Broncos fans like it was this past Sunday. They sold all those tickets to Broncos fans. I get that people want to make money. I think the buy-in's slow still. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did a lot of harm to the fan base long period of time with the way that they kind of went through the Jack Easterby era, Bill O'Brien era, all that stuff. And it hurt me. I grew up a Texans fan. Mm-hmm. It hurt me as a fan when I watched it happen. But it's brighter days ahead, and I am full buy-in on what we're seeing. We're seeing a quarterback that's playing at an MVP level this year, a head coach that's clearly got the team in a direction that they've never been in a long period of time. And there's no reason to think that they're not just going to keep getting better based off the way that they're going in the first year of this process.
It's so funny because I was talking to a friend who's out of market. And I said, well, yeah, it was a nice win for the Texans, very close game, Neil Better. And I said, but the downer is they lost Tank Dell. And this friend from out of market said, well, who's Tank Dell? He'd never heard of Tank Dell. Drafted late, but a speedster from the University of Houston.
University of Houston draftee to the Texans. Go figure.
That does surprise me.
I know.
He was obviously performing at a very high level, had a great chemistry with C.J. Stroud. How do they replace the absence of Tank Dell?
I don't think they can. I mean, first of all, I made this argument today on our show. This is the most explosive player probably outside of Arian Foster that this franchise has ever seen. And Arian was a different kind of explosive back in the day running the football. This is the fastest, quickest, most dynamic playmaker they've ever seen. And the connection that he and C.J. Stroud had from the jump. And it is funny that somebody wouldn't – I mean, that tells me whoever you're talking to doesn't play fantasy football because you should know Tank Dell at this point.
Right.
I think it's between – I would put it as Tank Dell's been the steal of the draft. I think some other people would take Puka Nacua from the Rams. But, I mean, what Tank does so well is the intermediate stuff, the sit down in the middle of the field. He's kind of been the safety blanket for C.J. Stroud. They don't have a lot of guys that scream – you know, middle of the field stuff, because they do a lot of crossing stuff. They do a lot of stuff. You see that they'll take a lot of shots downfield. Nico Collins is great at that. Noah Brown's been good at that when he's healthy. Dalton Schultz, when he's been healthy, has been a good option. But they don't have a guy that can go in the middle of the field and do the stuff that Tank Dell's been doing. John Metchie's a guy that hasn't had a lot of opportunity. He's not the same guy, even though he's close in stature from a height standpoint. But it's his time. If he's going to make it with the Texans, this is his opportunity to do something here. And that's, I think, where they're looking for somebody to step up is him specifically.
I was wondering that yesterday, Michael, because I thought, I love Metchie and I love his story and I loved him at Alabama. And it's like, okay, maybe this is your window. Let's see what you got. And I hope so. I hope for him.
I hope so, too. And just selfishly, my wife went to Alabama, so I live, breathe, and, Alabama football in my house is a massive deal.
Well, then you had a happy weekend.
Oh, it was a great weekend. Great weekend in my house. But I don't know about Met. I am concerned about Metchie, the football player on the field. I just don't know if he has the stuff for what they're looking to do. He's not a speed guy. He's not all those things. And I just think that when you watch him play, and look, that's. He sat out for a year.
Yes, he did.
Had a
with
very,
leukemia.
Yeah, and he had a
it wasn't just a small injury.
And then he had a shortened preseason on top of that this year because of an injury. It's going to take a second. It's just that's what sports are.
Yeah.
Well, okay. The Texans got a great game out of Nico Collins, and he looks super on the field. Obviously, a very different body type than Tank Dell, but he had 9 catches, 191 yards, and a touchdown. Pretty impressive.
They need more of it, and there's no way that they're going to survive long-term without him doing that. You kind of seen, and it was funny because the way that they were going, the targets in terms of how they were divvying it up, as they went along and started winning more, Tank Dell was getting more targets, and Nico Collins' target numbers were going down. It's going to have to change now. Nico Collins gets over 10 targets yesterday with Tank Dell going down. That has to continue. He's not, you know, like I said a minute ago, he's more of a cross the field. He's getting big plays. Like, he needs to show some other facets of his game. His growth, I mean, he's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver this year for a guy that's barely broken 400 in his first 2 years of the league. He's setting himself up for a massive payday after next season when he's a free agent.
Okay, Michael, 1,000-yard seasons. Mike Evans, I mean, incredible game yesterday. He's going to do it again for his 9th or 10th season in a row. The only one who's done that is Jerry Rice, who did it for 11 seasons in a row. Let me ask you this. Tampa Bay comes into Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Houston escapes with a win, a great win. Mike Evans goes up to D'Amico Ryans afterwards and says, come get me.
I've been making the case.
Isn't it time like now?
You're right. I think that, look, I mean, he is a little bit older. He's, what, 30 years old. You don't love
but
guys.
But he's clearly not slowing down.
No, he's not slowing down one bit. I mean, look, the guy shows up to games when they play in Houston in an Astros uniform. So he lives... eats, sleeps, breathes everything Houston when he's not in Houston or when he's back in Houston, whatever it is. I think it'd be a great fit for what they're looking to do. It would give you the ability to put Nico Collins as a number two. You could have Tank Dell as the speed guy. You can slot everybody back down, and he'd probably be more affordable than the T. Higgins of the world, Pittman from the Indianapolis Colts, who's probably going to get a lot of money as well. I think Mike Evans would be a perfect option on a 2-year deal for the Texans.
Okay, so that's not just like. Talk like that could really he wasn't joking when he said
I don't think so not one okay, I mean I really
good.
Do think that you could see that happen. I mean, he knows his time in Tampa, unfortunately, is done. I think Tampa, they need to rebuild. That it's always one of those situations, right? When you look at a player, you're like, they should finish somewhere. He probably should finish in Tampa, but the writing is on the wall. Like, they're not going anywhere. They're gonna have to reset that roster completely.
Yeah,
you let him walk, go home, get some guaranteed money here. The Texans have a lot of it to spend, almost $90 million in cap space right now, which will probably go even higher after the season ends. I think it'd be a really great fit.
Okay, I love it.
Well, the amazing window the Texans are in is that they've got a quarterback on a rookie contract for the next 3 years, and that's a real luxury. And usually when that happens, of course, that rookie is just a rookie. He's not very good yet, or it takes him 2 to 3 years to figure it out. But in this case, they got a rookie on a rookie contract who's actually very good right now.
And let's talk about Will Anderson, who's also on a rookie contract and who was fire yesterday. I mean, I think he's having a quietly, unbelievably disruptive season.
He's been Mr. Almost. Like, he almost gets there on all these plays.
Right.
But
yeah.
Yesterday he got there. I mean, like,
he got there.
He has been disruptive. He's done a lot of things. I liked him a lot coming out. I was very happy when they traded up for him. I mean, really, their entire rookie class, when you look at it, I mean, compare it to last year's last year's class. Now Derek Stingley's making some plays for them.
Hopefully
now.
He'll come on now.
Yeah,
it's
two
great.
Interceptions yesterday and 3 in his last 4 games.
But this draft class has been a home run for Nick mm-hmm. Caserio and D'Amico Ryans. I mean, everything about it, they've gotten contributions basically out of almost every player in it. And that's the kind of stuff that you mentioned, rookie windows. They have to take advantage of it, because if this class keeps hitting like this, and if you can back it up with another good class next year, even though their first-round pick is from Cleveland, so a little bit later next year, that's the kind of stuff that's going to get you to that spot where you're winning a Super Bowl.
Texans will be, like the Jets from a year or two ago, it's a possibility they'll have both the Offensive Rookie of the Year and the Defensive Rookie of the Year.
At least
votes for both.
Right, there is a chance. And they get to play the Jets this weekend, which they're having a lot of fun today. I think the Texans are waiting to feast on them this weekend in New York.
Okay, how bad can it be if you're a Jets fan? You benched Zach Wilson. Finally, Robert Saleh does it. Everyone's happy. Tim Boyle, disaster. Trevor Siemian, disaster. So now they're saying, okay, Zach, I think we're going to have to turn to you. And he's saying, I really don't think I want to come back. Like,
Oops.
What? I think it's a dangerous, like, I get why he's mad at them, but I think it's a dangerous game to play if you're a quarterback. You're showing other teams that, I'm not too interested in playing. Like, how does another team take that when you're looking for another contract down the road?
Who would be looking for him?
I mean, not a lot of people. You're probably right there.
Unfortunately, maybe just too late for him.
Yeah.
But the point stands, you want a quarterback who can handle adversity, who's resilient, who just want to take the ball and jump back in there.
I want to come back. Let me think about what? And one side this week, it'll have that. And his name's C.J. Stroud, like you mentioned. He's the clear-cut rookie of the year. And then on the other side of the ball, you might have it in Will Anderson. Now, it's football. We all know that you can't predict. It can be silly any weekend. But looking at what the Jets have been this year, if the Texans don't go in there and win, it will be a massive disappointment.
But sadly, that little stick in Carolina's win column was a la the Houston Texans.
It's bad.
Go figure.
And that's one of the rough parts of this season. And look, this is a fan base in the city in general. You didn't have any expectation for this.
Right.
I thought they were going to be at best a 6-win team this year. Like,
Me too.
Just what it looked like. And to come out and do this, you go back and you go, goodness, that game against Carolina out of the bye week to lose that way, or the game in Atlanta that was just so bad.
Gosh.
I mean, just last weekend against Jacksonville, that's another one. I mean, if they won that game against Jacksonville, but if they had won that game against Jacksonville, we're not talking about in the hunt and all that. They're the number one team in the AFC South right now that has the leg up with the two wins against Jacksonville this season, and they've almost guaranteed themselves that they're getting in the playoffs at that point. So they put themselves in this situation. There's things to learn from this, and if they do unfortunately miss out, which I don't think they're going to do because their schedule is so light down the stretch, but if they do, they're going to look back on those moments and say, we really screwed those up.
Sure. I know, it's like, I think you're right, because it's so tricky to know to not have big expectations, because we have been in Houston. You've been a lifelong Texans fan, you know. Yet, when they start playing at this level, we forget. We have a rookie quarterback, a rookie head coach, a rookie OC. So, you know what? There's going to be bumps and bruises.
All right, we've got Michael Connor in studio with us. We are the Boston the Gloss. When we come back, we're going to talk a little college football. You went to Alabama, or your wife went to Alabama. We're going to ask you, should Alabama be in the Final Four? Are you happy with the committee selections? That up next year on Sports Map Radio.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. It is The Boston The Gloss with Michael Connor in studio. He's a radio show host on KFNC Houston. You can hear him there. And going to break, we promised we'd talk a little bit about the Final Four selections in college football. What stood out to you as the biggest surprise?
I mean, obviously, the Florida State thing is the sticking point.
Yeah.
I know that that's got a lot of people hot and bothered. I think that, from my viewing pleasure, they got it right. From the standpoint of you go 13-0 and win a major conference, they got it wrong. And I get why FSU fans are upset about it. They have every right to be upset about it. I think we're going to get the best football that we could have gotten.
But that's a great point, because we were talking earlier, nobody wants to see a TCU fall to Georgia.
Correct.
At that kind of one-sided outcome as we had last year. And that was certainly a risk. I mean, if Florida State were to get in and face an Alabama team, I just think that could be ripe for a blowout.
Well, and you know, Michael, to your point, it sounds like, because I kept hearing all weekend, is it the best four teams in football or the most deserving? Florida State would be one of the most deserving. And now, clearly, seeing them against a good Louisville team, not a great Louisville team, that was not a great product.
It's rough for them that this wasn't the year that have a 12-team playoff, because this is one of the years, one of the few years, I think you look at the 12 that you would have gotten, you could find eight teams probably that you're like, that team could probably win the whole thing.
Totally.
It's one of those years in college football. But from this standpoint of this year, maybe it's a bit of who's the best right now, too, that they're looking at. And I don't mind the committee being that way. I know everybody's like, well, it's most deserving. There's no guideline that says it has to be the most deserving.
No.
It's who they decide are the best teams in college football. And to their decision, it's that those teams are there. And again, for my eyeballs, I'd rather watch them. And I think that they've got the matchups right to where we're going to get entertaining football and probably not any blowout games. At least I'm hopeful.
I mean, Harbaugh versus Saban. Who doesn't want to watch that?
I loved the reaction from the Michigan players. They're all excited.
Too.
They're like, oh, wait, we got to play Alabama. Because here's one thing. Like Alabama,
that was so funny.
Alabama seriously. This year, I mean, Saban's teams, we know. Saban's going to figure out a way. They're going to be in the mix every single year. They recruit like crazy. It's Alabama. Early in the year, I did not think that they had a single chance. When they lost to Texas, I was like, this thing is going to snowball.
At home by
them.
Double digits? Ooh.
Yeah, it was bad. They, you know, Jalen Milroe would look terrible. Mm-hmm. But as the season went along, he's not the best thrower of the football. He had a great game, like the A&M game. He was awesome throwing the football. He's had a few clunkers here and there. You know, they played tight against South Florida. But they found their way as the season moved along. And I think that they're playing really good football. Right? And you saw their defense, too. I mean, their defense is gotten a little bit back
crazy.
To what Saban defenses have looked like in the past.
Yep.
And they're dangerous. They can beat Michigan. I know that Michigan's got this everybody versus the world mentality right now, but I think that they can beat Michigan. And I don't, you know, I know that a lot of people don't want that to happen, but I can see it happening.
Well, Michael, great point. Why does Michigan feel like the victims? I'm kind of giggling here. I'm like, first of all, Harbaugh is a brilliant coach. And they've got great players. They didn't need to do what they did. You started the season on a 3-game suspension. You ended it on a 3-game suspension. Who's the victim? Not y'all. You're getting away with being the number one seed by essentially cheating. You have an elaborate sign-stealing scandal.
I think I go back to me growing up in Houston and being an Astros fan. And when they went through their sign-stealing thing, I can understand the me versus the world thing because I think – and this is where you and I and all three of us here, we aren't in their world and we don't know certain things. The Astros rallied against a lot of that when they did it because I think they knew what was going on in the sport all over the place. Like it was rampant across sport.
Yes.
I think if we peeled back the layers of college football, we'd find a lot more of it. And I think that people really don't want to know what goes on in sports for teams at any level in any sport to get competitive advantages. I prefer to not know. Do whatever you're going to do. Just as long as the games are entertaining, I'm entertained. But so I can understand that standpoint. It was a little over the top. I mean, I don't think that they necessarily handled it all that great, but you're talking about, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids.
Right.
Like, I don't expect them to be
free
to be
Harbaugh
all,
t-shirts when they're warming up.
It's a bit much, but, you know, I guess when you're bonding as a team and doing all those things, you bond together. Maybe one day they'll look back at it and go, you know, it was a little silly, but, you know, for this season's team, they didn't need any of that, clearly.
No.
They're really, really talented. And they do have a chance to win it all, without a doubt.
We've got Michael Connor in here. He's with KFNC Houston. And since we've got you and you are representing Houston sports at the moment, let's just shift gears, if we could, for a minute and talk Astros offseason.
Mm-hmm.
You have done pre- and post-game coverage of the Astros over the course of your career.
Since 2016.
Since 2016. So, look, what do you hope the Astros will achieve this offseason?
I don't have a lot of expectation for them. They are a team that's never spent very big. They've got a payroll right now that is right up against the collective balance tax, which is super high.
Yeah.
I don't see them shedding any salary. There's been a lot of talk about trading Alex Bregman, which Dana Brown, the GM's already shot down again today. Like,
okay.
It's not happening. They're keeping him, and he'll walk as a free agent. You know, I think the hope is that they get a relief pitcher and add a backup catcher, and they roll out the same team that they did last year. And you hope for a better result. I do think that they could make a trade. You know, just from some people that I talked to, I know that they've kicked the tires on a couple of trades with the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
If it's one of those trades, I think it'd be a good thing for them. I'm not going to bank on it. I think that
for the most part, they're going
to bring back the same roster they did a year ago. Which is fine, I guess.
And they're getting back some health in their arms, right?
That'd be great. I'm not too encouraged by Lance McCullers sitting here saying, I'm going to pitch this year, and then saying that the injury was worse than it was. So they need him. They've got Luis Garcia coming back. You know, I don't think that they're getting McCullers before August at the earliest at this point. So, they need some sort of health in their pitching rotation because that's what killed them. I mean, they lost to the Rangers, the eventual champions, and really you go back and, I mean, their bats – went quiet at home once again, but they had a lot of inconsistency in the starting staff that really hurt them. From a year before where they were lights out and they won a championship on it, it was almost the exact opposite this year.
Yeah, it really is about pitching. Kyle Tucker, amazing regular season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, King Tuck, the whole thing, I mean, earned his contract, whatever he's going to do. What the heck happened in the postseason?
He's one of those guys, the bright lights turn on a little bit. I've never loved Kyle Tucker's demeanor at times. He's too a little, I guess, aloof.
Aloof,
I think is the best way to put
word.
It. Yeah, when he's running around in the outfield. I don't think that he's scared of the big moment by any means. I just think that there's times where the game isn't taken as seriously maybe as it needs to be taken.
He doesn't know how to attack it, maybe?
Maybe. I just think that the game has always come easy to him, and at times you expect it to come easy to him. And then, you know, on top of that, he got into a major funk when the postseason came around and his bat just wasn't living up to it. And that's another name to watch with the Astros.
Sure.
That's going to be a big name on the free agent market in a couple of seasons because he's not going to stay here. It is the theme of the Astros. They don't pay players to the level that they want to get paid. You got to start paying them when they're young. Like we're seeing the Brewers do right now, paying a 19-year-old kid. You got to pay them when they're super young, because if you don't do it then, you're not going to get them when they're 27, 28, 29 years old, because they're going to want $300-plus million.
So Shohei Ohtani's not coming to the Houston Astros?
No, not a chance. My radio partner every day, Josh Beard, loves to stick me with that one and be like, hey, Shohei Ohtani to the Astros. And I'm like, no, it's not happening. I think he's going to be a Dodger, or I think he's going to go back to the Angels.
Please.
Yeah, that good for baseball?
No, not good for baseball.
I mean, I don't think people should be shocked if he goes back to the Angels. The Angels cater to his every need. Mm-hmm. They could be a losing team.
You think he might go back to the Angels?
Yeah, I think that they're... I mean, look, they have a history of handing out crazy contracts.
Yes, well, Mike Trout, and who is amazing. Who is amazing. But what does that do you?
It doesn't do them anything. It really doesn't. But there's a ton of money behind Shohei Ohtani. You see, if you watch those games that he pitches in or is hitting,
that's
all
true.
The advertising behind home plate is in Japanese. Mm. Every single thing. They're making, you know, I talked to somebody that says they're making at minimum like $30 million a year just off the advertising in Japan.
Well, that'll help with the big paycheck.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It'd be good business to have him from that standpoint, but it doesn't do anything. So I still think that winning is going to matter. Like, everybody's trying to put winning.
Well, my
money, like, I think, like most people, is on the Dodgers. Okay. Hope I'm wrong.
Okay. Well, okay. So about winning, is the Astros window closed?
It's not closed. The American League is still very winnable. You know, the division is tough. I'm not trying to downplay a team that just won a championship. They won 90 games in the regular season. They're losing a lot of players in free agency. They beat an 84-win Diamondbacks team. It was a perfect storm for them to win a championship.
Yes, it was.
The Astros coughed it up. I mean, the credit to the Rangers for winning it. But the AL East, the Orioles should get better. Will they add? I don't know. But they have an incredible amount of young talent because they're run by former Astros people that have turned them into a mini Astros over there. You know, it sounds like the Blue Jays want to do a bunch of stuff. Will they ever take that next leap forward? Who knows? I'm not a big believer in the Yankees. I know that they're saying they're going to spend a bunch of money left and right. You know, the Red Sox aren't coming back. So the AL is still very winnable for the Astros. I think they have at least two more really, really good seasons of trying to win it all, and probably four is about as max as you can go in terms of winning the American League. But they have to start doing some things. They want to keep it open longer. They're going to have to add some players in certain spots to do that.
And do you think their punishment from the sign-stealing scandal where they lost draft capital, you know, or top-round draft capital, is that going to hurt them? Because you're saying
it's crushed them. Their farm system's terrible. Making a trade is going to be nearly impossible for them this offseason.
Bummer.
All right. He's Michael Connor. He's been with us in studio. Thanks so much, Michael, for joining us. When we come back, we're going to look at the bottom of the barrel. Which team would you rather have, the Patriots or the Panthers? Which team can position better for next year?
Right.
That up next year on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
All right, Carla, I'm not one to wait to the last minute. I have been out shopping for great holiday gifts. By the way, I've got one for you.
Excellent. Love to hear it.
And I have to concede, I have found the right place to go.
Okay.
It is an amazing place. You can find the best gifts at the lowest prices at Total Wine and More. There are so many great bottles to choose from. You can find gifts for everyone on your list, whether it's a Cabernet, a Champagne, or a single barrel bourbon. Which would you like, by the way?
The single barrel bourbon. I bet you wouldn't have thought that.
Well, I know. You surprise me every day. One thing
true.
I would say, when I went in, I was unsure where to go, how to find the right items, and Total Wine's friendly guides were there to help me. They were instrumental in my finding the right gifts. Listen, Total Wine & More has had the lowest prices for over 30 years. You'll always find what you love, and you will love what you find only at Total Wine & More. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly.
I will.
Be 21.
Okay, I'm going to try. I'm close.
You'll get there.
Yeah, I'll get there. I'll get there.
All right, we promised a penetrating question when we went to break, and that is, which team is at the bottom of the barrel? Which team would you rather take over right now as Carla, the Gloss Dawson? Would you rather be a fan of the Patriots or the Panthers? Which team has better prospects for next year?
Let's see. The Patriots are sitting at 2-10.
Oops.
They lost to the Chargers yesterday 6-0.
Yeah, no offense
nothing.
At all.
Nothing.
The Boston Globe is calling it the worst offense under the Bill Belichick era.
It's really hard to fathom.
Hard to watch.
But then Carolina, it's the worst record at 1-11, fell to Tampa Bay 21-18, so at least they were competitive. I have to say, both are pitiful situations. I think Bryce Young has not had a fair shake, so I'm not going to evaluate him. But if I'm looking at owners, and owners are who make the train go, I do not want to be under a David Tepper-owned team. I don't trust his, quote, management style or whatever he's doing. Robert Kraft wants to win, knows how to win, and knows how to make it happen. I haven't seen that out of Dave Tepper. So I would stick with New England. How about you?
That's interesting. You start at the ownership level, and that's interesting. Certainly Kraft deserves more credibility, has a longer track record of success than Dave Tepper, who has none to date.
Super Bowls, yeah.
Ownership goes to Kraft. Coaching. Frank Reich is gone in Carolina. Bill Belichick presumably will be gone at the end of the year. So both teams will have a fresh slate at the head coaching position. But I guess that goes back to ownership. Which owner do you trust to make the right choice?
Robert Kraft. I don't even think twice.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Kraft.
And then you've got the quarterback situation. Bryce Young, of course, taken number one overall by the Panthers. The Patriots don't have a quarterback. I mean, I think it's clear now that Mac Jones is not the answer. Bailey Zappe is not the answer. Shoot, if Will Greer were the answer, and everybody was all alarmed when Will Greer, oh my gosh, the Cowboys have lost Will Greer.
How could they let go of Will Greer?
That's what was said.
So mean.
And by the way, he can't beat out Mac Jones or Bailey Zappe, so I don't think there was a huge loss there. Mac Jones.
That is a harsh reality. You're right. Oh, geez.
So here we sit. Oof. The Patriots will be looking for a quarterback in the offseason. They will have, looks like, a top three or four pick, if not the top, maybe the number two overall pick. So if, in fact, they land with that blue chip pick, they will assuredly use it on a quarterback. And there are several good quarterbacks who will likely go in the top five. So that'll be that. Whomever the Patriots end up with there, looks like Caleb Williams will go number one, so he may not be available to the Patriots, who will likely take the second or third pick. They'd have to trade up to get him. But Bryce Young versus a Caleb Williams versus one of the other quarterbacks coming out, it's not clear to me who will be in a better stead. As you've noted, the problem with Bryce Young is there's no supporting cast.
No.
That O-line is porous, and he has been beat up this year.
Oh, it's been awful. It's been awful. So I don't think it's fair to evaluate him here. Yet how much do we really think it's going to change from now until the draft as far as getting pieces around him? I don't know.
Mm. No, well, right now Bryce Young is playing with a tough supporting cast and an interim head coach.
Yes.
So this has been a season where the wheels have just come off of the Panthers. And then the other reason not to pick the Panthers in this debate between the Patriots and the Panthers is, of course, the Panthers don't have their pick in the draft this year. They traded to the Bears to get Bryce Young. So though,
yet another brilliant decision.
I mean, look.
That's what I'm saying.
I know, but in their defense, everybody lauded that deal back then, but now everybody hates it, right? Unfortunately, they have both a quarterback they're not sure about and a lack of a draft pick. It's just a bad place to land.
It's a bad place to land.
You know, one of the things you talked about earlier in the show, and I wanted to come back to it, was how strange a season the Pittsburgh Steelers have had.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is a team, well, one thing that they have never done is fire a coach in season, and they fired their offensive coordinator last week.
Matt Canada. Which was the right move.
And they fell to a team, the Arizona Cardinals. Well, they lost to the Cardinals yesterday 24-10. Cardinals only had two wins coming into that game. They were 2-10. And Pittsburgh had this habit of being outgained by teams every week and yet still beating them.
was highly unusual. It was like nine straight games where they outgained, were outgained, and won all of those.
Bizarre. It's a bizarro season for these Steelers. It's just everything that you would not think could happen has happened, and now Kenny Pickett is injured. So the
Steelers had surgery today, tightrope surgery on his ankle.
So he's out for probably about a month.
Yes. They said it's not season-ending, but and he's had, I guess, something like this before, but...
But the season only has five games. I mean, this is not...
Exactly.
It's close to season ending.
But they have Mitch Trubisky.
Well, they've got Trubisky to carry them into the playoffs until Pickett returns. But no, the Steelers are now 7-5. They're not out of it. And they continue to find unique ways to win. Are you a believer that they can actually sneak into the playoffs somehow?
Yes.
Ugh.
Because I can't believe they're 7-5 with the product that they've put on the field.
Yeah.
Which really, I give all the credit to Mike Tomlin. That guy is an unbelievable coach. And he has had so much drama to deal with in the years with Le'Veon Bell, with Antonio Brown, with Ben Roethlisberger, and you know this mess with the... Kenny Pickett has not been great. I shouldn't say it's a mess. He just has not been fantastic. He doesn't have a lot to work with. Issues with Najee Harris not being happy. And he navigates it all. And they are sitting at a 7-5 record. So they could for sure make the playoffs. Because if I look at the stats, and just like you mentioned, saw that they were outgained in every single one of their wins except for one, I would say no way do they have an above 500 record. And here they sit. So credit the genius of Mike Tomlin.
Well, I'm gonna go out on a huge limb here,
okay,
make a bold prediction.
It. I love it.
The Steelers will not be in the playoffs. Okay. I don't think so. They have defied the odds and the numbers and the stats. It's been an amazing run.
It's catching up with them.
Tomlin never has a losing season, but I just don't think they can sustain it when you think about Mitch Trubisky as their quarterback over these remaining games. So I'm not going to put them in that roster. One thing I did want to also jump to, you talk about drama. The New York Jets, of course, have been a storyline all season, starting with Aaron Rodgers and his injury. But recently, well, there's been another wave of drama with Zach Wilson getting benched, Zach Wilson not wanting to return. But recently, there's been a lot of scrutiny about Nathaniel Hackett and his role in the offense, because this offense has had a total meltdown. And recognize, Hackett was brought in because they had big hopes with Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers and Hackett had their history with Green Bay. But this team has really, really, really struggled without Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, they're 30th in scoring.
You can't get worse than that.
No.
Yeah. I guess you can go 32nd.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm actually surprised they're not 32nd, given their results and how paltry that offense has been.
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, look at this. Overall, David, this season, the Jets have scored 4 offensive touchdowns in their last 88 drives.
Yeah, 4 offensive touchdowns and 88 drives. That is of epic proportions. And that's why the scrutiny swings back to Nathaniel Hackett. There's just a perception that even if you have a Trevor Siemian playing quarterback, you can at least score some touchdowns in games. I mean, yesterday they lost.
You have the offensive rookie of the year last year was in Garrett Wilson right there on your receivers. I mean, they've got some good weapons, but I don't know. I think you're right. You can't just blame the quarterback play. I think the offensive coordinator, and that's Nathaniel Hackett, is seen as better days.
Hackett starting to feel some heat. Robert Saleh starting to feel some heat. A season that it goes off the rails like this one is really hard to recover. And then, of course, looming in the background now, you still have Aaron Rodgers talking very boldly about coming back, even though the Jets are out of it. I mean, they're 4 wins, 8 losses.
Yep.
It would be fool's gold for him to come back to try to rescue a season that has already been lost.
But you know, I think this is my own take. He doesn't have any intention of coming back, but he is addicted to attention, and he's got to keep his name in the headlines. So let's just keep talking that way.
Fair enough. All right, when we come back, we're going to look at the big marquee matchups of next week. There's some good ones: Eagles and Cowboys, Ravens and Rams, Seattle and San Francisco. We'll break them down when we return here on Sports Map Radio.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. Okay, each week going into the game, going into the week, there's always a matchup or two or three that really turns our head the most. We get all excited to see what can be. And last week, of course, it was the 49ers and the Eagles, and that game did not turn out to be so compelling. This week, we've got some matchups to look forward to yet again. Hopefully, they'll be
for week 14
more compelling for week 14. I might begin with Philadelphia at Dallas, and that's going to be the Sunday night matchup. Obviously, two teams with a lot at stake. Eagles at 10-2, Cowboys at 9-3. Supremacy of the NFC East division is a big deal here. So it will be fun to see those teams match up. They are playing at Dallas. In Philadelphia earlier in the year, Cowboys nearly got him. It was a game of inches, but the Eagles prevailed. This time, the Eagles have to travel to Dallas. Eagles coming off a tough loss against the 49ers. Look, it's a bounce-back game for the Eagles, which should give the Cowboys some pause. But I do think the Cowboys are going to win it at home, split the series, and then I do think the Eagles will go on to win the division after that. But it will be fun game to watch, and Sunday Night Football doesn't get any bigger than that. A big marquee matchup. As we've noted, the Cowboys have not been able to...
They haven't lost a game at home.
Well, they haven't lost a game at home, but they also haven't beaten some of the marquee teams. They haven't beaten teams with great records. They fell to the 49ers, which was the big marquee loss they had earlier in the year. But I do think, they almost beat the Eagles in Philadelphia. I think they can win this one at home.
I think they are going to win it at home. I mean, I think this is for Philadelphia. This is going to be a really important game of how they respond to the beatdown that San Francisco gave them. It was very physical. It was fight night. And Eagles didn't look great at all. So, anyway, it'll see how they do. But Dallas is, wow, they are looking good. And Dak is playing the best I've ever seen him.
Yeah, he's been on a great run. Coming out of that bye week, they have performed at a really elite level. That Texas Coast offense, the changes that Mike McCarthy has made versus Kellen Moore's offense last year, seemingly is working well. Of course, the Cowboys have been playing a cupcake schedule the last 3 to 4 weeks. This will be a bigger test. They need this test. Now, the Seahawks game where they played on Thursday, they did Thursday Night Football last week.
That came down to the wire. That was tight.
Heck of a game. Seahawks are a good team. Not a great team. Seahawks now at break even 6-6. But that was a good matchup. Let's look at the Seahawks now. They have to travel to San Francisco really with their season on the line because they have stumbled down the stretch of the last few games. Seattle needs to win this one against San Francisco this week.
Yeah, they lost to the Niners. They lost to the Cowboys. Now they're coming back to San Francisco or coming to San Francisco, and then they'll face Philadelphia. So that's a rough stretch.
I'll say this about Seattle. They move the ball really, really well.
Yes, they do.
Against the Cowboys defense. And I mean, all season long,
penalties killed them.
Well, that's right. And we've been praising Dan Quinn and his defense, and it's been exceptional. But I think Seattle showed the way to beat that is very, very, very quick passes. I mean, Geno Smith would get the ball and get it out of his hands before the rush was even there. And ironically, they threw at Deron Bland, the star cornerback of a guy that a lot of people think could be defensive player of the year.
Yeah, they were throwing it his direction. Picks at that point, right?
He had six pick sixes. I mean, he's just an amazing story this year. And Deron Bland filling in or taking the place of Trayvon Diggs when Diggs went down with the ACL. Bland has been outstanding, but DK Metcalf got the better of him. And the Seahawks offense got the better of the Cowboys defense. It was a rare game for the Cowboys because they won it as an offensive shootout. You haven't seen the Cowboys win an offensive shootout in a long, long time. Usually when they win, it's been by a big margin, the defense getting a bunch of turnovers, and the offense just sort of going through the motions. Not this week. It was a really strong showing by the Cowboys offense. And it showed, because sometimes you have to win differently in this league. Sometimes you win with defense, sometimes you win with offense. It was a great game for the Cowboys to demonstrate they can win with offense. But I have to say, I was very impressed with what Geno Smith was able to do against that Cowboys defense.
Yeah, I was too. He's had a very up and down season. Last year was a great breakout season for him, honestly. This year's been a little more up and down, but he held his own against a very formidable Dallas defense.
Well, and it's a tough thing with Geno Smith. And look, we all think about quarterbacks and their origin story. I mean, it's going to be take us a long time to look at Brock Purdy as not Mr. Irrelevant, right? Well, Geno Smith is a guy who really was cast around and about the league, and he got that label of a journeyman quarterback.
Because he started with the Jets.
Yes.
Jeez, how do you ever get that off? Yeah,
how do you
resume?
Get rid of the taint of having been quarterback of the New York Jets? That destines you for doom, usually.
It does.
But he found his way to Seattle, and Pete Carroll's done a great job with him, and he's performed at a pretty darn good level. I don't think anybody's ready to say Geno Smith is a Super Bowl quarterback. And so the Seahawks, with a lot of talent on that roster, and with a bevy of picks that they got from the Russell Wilson trade, I think the Seahawks need to look in the mirror and decide whether they really think it's going to be this offseason they go out and try to get an upgrade at quarterback.
Through the draft?
Through the draft. Well, they've got their own first-round pick, which would be late.
Yeah.
I mean, or at least mid right now, they're 6-6. And then they've got 2 third-rounders coming up in the next draft. And it may well be that they need to figure out a way to trade into the consideration to get a new quarterback and replace Geno Smith.
That would make me sad.
Well, he's been a great story.
He really has been. And he's been an upgrade from what Russell Wilson, that's for sure, for Seattle.
Yeah, well, it worked out. That's exactly right. And they got all the draft picks to go with it, and that's enabled them to pick up some good talent along the way.
Right.
Okay, the other big matchup of the big three, to me, in the marquee matchups this coming weekend is the Ravens versus the Rams. And there are big, big consequences here, big things at stake, because the Ravens are angling to be the number one seed overall in the AFC. If the season were to end today, the Dolphins would have the number one seed. Ravens would like to change that narrative. Ravens have to face the Rams, and the Rams have suddenly gotten some momentum. They have won a few in a row, and they stand now at 6-6.
Yeah, they made it to 500, and they looked good yesterday. Now, granted, it was against the Joe Flacco Cleveland Browns, but the Cleveland Browns have looked great. They just have had a really unfortunate situation at the quarterback position. And
yes, their defense,
I don't think Joe Flacco's
been,
your answer.
Yeah, well, the defense has been solid all year. And Flacco, for a guy just rolled off the bench,
Jeez.
He actually did okay. Yeah. He threw some nice balls. I mean, he's not going to take the Browns to the Super Bowl either. But I applaud what he did. It's not easy to come in at last minute as he did and perform at the level where he played. But no.
This is the fourth quarterback for the Browns this season.
Yeah.
Because they started with Deshaun Watson. And then due to injury, they had P.J. Walker. And then they Dorian Thompson-Robinson, he's in concussion protocol.
Oh, yeah.
And now we're Joe Flacco. I mean, so credit the coaching job of Kevin Stefanski and this incredible defense for the Cleveland Browns, because they're still kind of in it.
Well, what's sad, and you could say this about other teams too, is it would have been fun to see what the Browns could do if they had a full season of Deshaun Watson.
And he was really finally starting to come into his rhythm and all. And here we go, season-ending shoulder surgery.
Well, as we all know, they gave up the farm to get him. And that's a franchise that had been waiting forever for a franchise quarterback. And they had used up all those draft picks on guys like Tim Couch and never could get themselves going anywhere. Finally, they got
him. Sitting on a couch. Yeah. That's about where he ended up. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, it didn't work out so well.
Baker Mayfield, Johnny Manziel. I mean, they've been through it.
But the Ravens do have a legit shot at this number one seed overall. As you've noted earlier, they've got a tough schedule remaining.
Tough
lineup. And that bodes well for the Dolphins. Of all the teams, it does strike me the Dolphins need that number one seed, maybe more than others. If for no other reason, then the weather will be good down in Miami. It'll be warm. It'll play to their offense. They love to throw the ball all over the yard. They are not a heavy pound and ground running team. They need to light it up, and so to be at home would be very meaningful for the Dolphins.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you talked earlier about your Cowboys, that they have taken care of business against the lesser teams, have struggled against the good teams. That's exactly Miami, because they've got all kinds of wins against the Chargers, 2 against New England, Denver by 70, put 70 points on Denver, the Giants, Carolina, Las Vegas, 2 wins with the Jets, Washington. Okay, well, who wouldn't be able to run that slate? However, they have lost to Buffalo, sitting at 6-6, Philly at 10-2, Kansas City at 8-3. Those are contenders, and they have remaining. They're going to see Tennessee at 4-8, the Jets at 4-8, but they're going to see Dallas at 9-3. They're going to see Baltimore at 9-3. They're going to see Buffalo at 6-6.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've got They have to prove themselves. They're taking care of business with the little guys, but show us what you can do against contenders.
Well, it is on that checkered record that they may be the number
checkered
one seed.
Checkered record. We are just rhyming all over the place today. I love it.
Well, we've had fun running all over the
so
place.
Fun.
This has been the fastest show ever.
It has gone by
so fast, so much fun. Up next is going to be Anthony Pepe and the Diehards.
All right, bring on Anthony.
That's good.
I love
listening.
His energy.
Look forward to that. Carl, it'd be great to be with you. Sean, thanks so much behind the glass. You've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss on Sports Map Radio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.